Well, amen, 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 amen. Well, take your Bibles, and if you let it drop open, it'll probably drop open to 2 Peter chapter 1. This is where we are today, again. And I know I may feel like I'm belaboring this. I really feel like this is so very, very important. And I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the only one who does this. But you read everything, you pray, and you study it, and say, okay, and then we move on. I have said this before. Sometimes it takes about five times before to hear something, about five times before we believe it, about another five times before we know we need it, and another five times before we know we need to heed it. And if it finally sinks in, preaching, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need to hear it over and over again so we don't just hear it and know it, but that we're going to do it and let it be part of our life here. And so I'm going to, again, read the entire passage here from chapter 1 of 2 Peter, and through verse number 9, and put it all in context, because if we don't, what I'm going to give you today is important, but again, if we don't put it in the proper context, we're not going to get the message that I needed you to get. So here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. What does that mean? They're saved. Just regular folks that are saved. Obtain like precious faith with us. How? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not of works of righteousness we have done, but according to what He's done. Verse 2, grace and peace, the second half of what He wants for us. Grace and peace be multiplied. Come in bunches, come in bundles. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through how? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, in other words, going right along with what I'm just saying here, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that manly valor, that determination to do what it takes to get the victory, whatever it takes. And to virtue, knowledge, the information, to know the knowledge. Now we're going to have to say to the knowledge, temperance. In other words, I've got to determine to overcome my laziness, overcome my indifference. Decide I'm going to get up. Listen, you all came to church this morning. You got up. I was telling the early service folks, they got up this morning. I hate getting up at early service. I'm not a morning person, but I realize that it's important for me to be here. It's important for them to be here. And I want them to know the truth. It's more important for them to know the truth than for me to get an extra hour for sleep. Honest. It's more important. And so we need to know, we got to overcome our shortcomings, our physical shortcomings, by self-control. So add to knowledge temperance, the temperance patience, that's cheerful endurance to keep doing what we're supposed to do. And then what gets added to that? Godliness. If I will continue learning the knowledge of God with self-control, with patience, God begins to add godliness to me. To godliness, we'll start seeing something else show up, brotherly kindness. The brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I want to take some time here this morning, and last week we talked about overcoming the natural man that I am, and we talked about godliness. Today I want to talk about this, behaving like God. Behaving like God. If we have godliness, we're thinking like God. It won't be long until we're doing as God does. I want to pass on a word of thanks to you all from Wayne Nelson and Christopher back here. They want to appreciate all at the passing of his wife, Miss Chris, and all the cards and the prayers and the gifts and other things that came his way. Just want to let you know how much he appreciates this. His church family and all the help they gave him during that time. It was a tough couple of years here, right? Really, and especially there at the end. So you pray for the Nelsons. I know they'd appreciate that, and we appreciate them as well. But let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to talk about behaving like God. Father, again, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for this word. We thank you for teaching us these things. And Lord, we thank you that we can have these things because that's where we get the great and precious promises. And so we need to accomplish these things, to do these things as you've called us to do. And you've got these promises for us. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here. A lot of things going on through hearts of people here and a lot of things that we cause ourselves too. Now, Lord, I pray now you'll speak to us. We'll give you the praise for all that you're going to do. May your Holy Spirit move. May the divine nature be stirred within us as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We may have the mind of Christ. So again, Lord, we put it in your hands. We give you the praise for all that you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. So in our passage here, he gives us everything unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Now, no, in other words, why do I think the way I think? Why do I do the things that I do? Why do I treat others the way that I do? It's because I'm thinking the way I think. Now, either I'm thinking the way man thinks, or I'm thinking the way God thinks, or somewhere kind of a mixture in between. But we think a certain way. I mean, we see things a different way. You know, we've got two different political parties, and the fact is, they are so opposite in the way they think. I think most of them really, truly, believe it or not, I think they really want what's best for our nation. They just don't know what best is. They have a different perspective of what best is. They think best is, and I've talked about that last week in our message, they think best is having the freedom to do as we please. Let our sinful nature just have at it. And they think that's what's best, is let everybody do as they please. Well, if that's the case, then there's a few folks I might punch in the nose. Is that best? No, I don't think it is best. You know what I'm saying? Best for me was, I might think, well, what I think is best is to stay in and sleep in on Sunday mornings. But that's not what's best. Now, if I start thinking like God, I'm going to have a different way, a different perspective, different priorities. He says, listen, as we develop, we're going to be partakers of that divine nature. See, I don't have to live in my old human nature. I can be born again, start over, and develop a godly nature. I can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, including the problems and the issues that we cause ourselves. When I was young, we've talked about nature, human nature. It's just our nature to do certain things. But the fact is, if we have God's nature living in us, we're going to do things a little bit differently. When I was small, my folks had a standard poodle. We were never animal people, but so I'm not even sure where we even got this dog. I don't know where. I just remember his name was Dusty, and that was a very apropos. And he was a standard poodle, a black standard poodle, pretty good sized dog, and of course he was an outside dog. We didn't keep him inside, and mom wasn't about to have that. But after a while, the dog began to stink. You know, he'd lay outside the back door, and he just, you know, he stink. And so she tried to give him a bath, and so she'd give him, and that was an ordeal right there. But she gave this big old dog a bath. And, of course, terrible ring around the tub at that point, you know, whatever it was. But anyway, she'd give the dog a bath and get him all done, and he would smell good, he'd look good, he'd be all fluffy, all his curly hair, you know, all fluffy. And you let him out, and you know what the first thing he would do? We had a dirt lane that ran from our house up to the buildings where my dad kept all the trucks from his fuel oil business. And the dog would go out into the middle of the dirt road, roll over on his back and go, I swear he sighed. Oh, I feel so good. Because that's his nature. That was his nature. And you know, the Bible says that the dog returns to his vomit. The pig goes back to the muck and the mire. And you know, if we have the old nature, that's what we're going to do. So how are we going to stop doing that? Well, we have a new nature. And so he says, I'm going to give you, you're going to be partakers of the divine nature. We're going to let the divine nature grow in you. Now, we're going to give all diligence, and we're going to get through that process. And as we go through the process, we're going to start seeing godliness show up. Now, of course, the first thing, you know, to add to your faith, you got to have faith. You got to know Christ as your Savior. You got to be born again, have the Holy Spirit within you. We know that. But if you want the great and precious promises of having everything you need for life and godliness, you're going to have to add. So, while we're giving all diligence and add the knowledge to God of God to our faith, which includes self-control, patience to continue the process, the divine nature of God is grown and developed within our hearts. First of all, we begin to think like God, reason like God, to understand things more like God, beyond the capacity of the natural man. So number one, first thing I want you to know today is God adds godliness. We don't add godliness to our life. God adds godliness. When we diligently and with consistency and patience continue to add the knowledge of God to our faith, we will change in the way we look at life. It's just the way it works. We are the people that we spend time with, the books we read, the things we see on TV, the things we listen to. That's who we become. If that was the case, then why do we have education? Education in itself is based on that fact that we tell you enough times, eventually it'll sink in, and then you'll start doing what they're telling you. And then we are being educated, if you will, indoctrinated all the time. So these additions to our faith will change the way we live life, and thus it will change the way we are blessed in life. He says we're going to add godliness. Now watch me. Piety, holiness, a word that means reverent, devout. It's going to change your attitude toward God. It's going to change your attitude in the ways of God and His law. I mean, you're going to think about His law differently. You're going to delight in the law of the Lord because, you know, it's the rules that keeps you out of trouble. It's going to change your attitude in God. And in fact, it means developing the attitude of God as I add godliness to my life. Again, He's the one that's adding it as I add the knowledge of Christ. Now, I believe that this is more than just seeming to do as God does, but doing as God does because you're now thinking and reasoning as God does. You understand? Okay, all right. I want to make sure. I'll keep moving if you got it, okay? Talk to me here. So, if we think as God thinks, we will more likely want to behave and live our lives as the Lord would live His life on earth, thinking with a holy mindset rather than a worldly and a fleshly mindset. Living godly will serve us better than living worldly. But godliness but godliness is profitable into all things, 1 Timothy. Fake or feigned godliness. We talked about this last week. You know, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Fake godliness is not going to do it. Don't just put on a show. Don't just put on your professional face. Who are you really down and deep? And one of these days when we meet the Lord, we will be responsible for the way we've lived, whether godly or not godly. Remember in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or way of life and godliness? We've got to answer for what we've done. And the fact that our godliness impacts how we interact with others. But, old man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now, naturally, if we are thinking differently, we will reason differently, and different perspectives and different priorities, thus we'll make our decisions differently and do things differently. Our nature will be different, and thus our behavior will be different, and how we live out our new way of thinking will be changed. So if I begin to think more like God in Jesus Christ, I will begin to behave more like God in Jesus Christ. My old nature, the natural man, begins to take a back seat in life. And the new divine nature now reigns, and key word, reigns in my life, rules in my life. What is ruling you? Something is ruling you. You're either being ruled by your sin. And a lot of times, folks who have addictions, They feel they call them chains. It's like it's controlling them. Sin can rule in your life. Sin can reign in your life. Sin becomes king sometimes. In life, it has that power over us. Or we can allow the Lord to have that power over us. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but in Romans 5:19, it says this. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, Adam, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, Jesus Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, listen, sin has had the power over us, and the wages of sin is death, separation from God, destruction. If sin gets the best of us, it's going to kill something. And it may even kill you, but kills relationships. It kills families. It kills our dreams and our hopes. It's amazing what sin can do if sin is reigning in our life. But he says, listen, we don't have a choice but have sin reign in our life if we're not saved, because all we have in us is sin. Now, watch me. Jesus, the Bible says in Genesis, they told Adam, the day you eat of the fruit thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, did he go and die? No. What died? The connection between him and God, his spirit. We have, you go back to 1 Corinthians 15, we have a physical body, but we have a spiritual body. In other words, a housing of our soul. And so our soul lives both in a physical body, but in a spirit as well. Now watch me. You say, well, I have a spirit. Yes, that's like, but if I have, we have an outlet on the wall there. But if I go back here to back here and flip a little breaker, that outlet's sitting there, but it's dead. No life in it. It cannot transfer the power from the power source. The building has power source, but that outlet doesn't, because the circuit has been broken. The circuit is dead. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Our sin separates us from God. We are dead in sins and trespasses. The connection between us and God is a broken circuit. The breaker is done. We have a spirit, but the spirit is dead, if you will. There's no power going between the two. So what do I have? I have my physical body, and so the physical body is telling my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions what to do. And that's all I have. I'm not really getting anything from God. Oh, I might hear some things that somebody else got from God, and I might try to imitate it, but I didn't get it myself. It didn't hit my heart. The electricity, the power of God didn't zap my heart with the truth. I'm living off of somebody else's faith. Somebody else is zapping from the Holy Spirit, but I'm just as dead. I may look like, I may be pretending to have had a connection with God, but I don't, and I can't if I'm not saved. Now, when I admit to myself that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in us. In fact, if he doesn't dwell in you, he's not yours. You're none of his. When he comes on, it turns on the power. Now the fact is, that power and that outlet, I'm not pointing to you there, Caleb. The outlet over there in the wall can have power. But watch this. I can have the power turned on and not plug anything into it. So I'm still dead, so to speak. It's alive, but I'm not connected to it. Or maybe I just kind of connect every once in a while and when I want to. See, there are an awful lot of Christians, they're alive in Christ. The power is on. I can connect to him if I want to, but I just don't. Now, not only can I, okay, but watch this. I can be, I say, oh, I want to connect, that's fine. Now that I'm connected, he's got to start downloading, like your computer. But if I turn the computer off, or I disconnect it, or I I get rid of the app and all those kind of things. I'm not getting what he wants to download in my life. So I've got to turn that thing on. I've got to be living, plugged into the power. So he's downloading into me godliness. Are you following what I'm saying? You get the gist here? So, watch me. He says, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, determination to get what you need to get the victory. Now, what I need is knowledge of God. I need to know God. So, with my self-control, which I can choose. By the way, you made a choice to be here. You have some self-control. I just couldn't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So self-control, patience to do it over and over and over and over again. And then God starts adding godliness. Now we add godliness, and we're downloading godliness, God-likeness, then there's a very natural progression is that we start thinking like God. And we start thinking like God, we'll start behaving like God. So, to godliness is added brotherly kindness. Now watch me. Brotherly kindness is only used one time, that phrase, just like that. And it's literally the word Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia means the city or the place of brotherly kindness. A fraternal affection, a love of the brethren. In other words, we start housing affection for others. A chaste affection. I'm not talking about weird kind of crazy stuff, but I'm talking about a truly caring about others. If I truly care about others, it's going to change a lot of things that I do. Selfishness starts to change. The way I treat my spouse is going to change. The way I treat my children. I will stop from being belittling to my children, watch me, to respecting my children as human beings. Still training them, guiding them, teaching them, but loving them. They're people. We will have a new attitude toward others. Turn back just a couple pages to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter, you're on 2 Peter. They're just small books, just a couple pages. Chapter 1, verse 22. Look what it says. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto, watch, unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know what he just said? Seeing that you have purified your souls. Listen, what's in me? Dirt, filth. My sin is filthy. What can wash away my sins? Blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What is all my... All my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. My righteousness is Jesus. In other words, I have in him, when he died for me, if I accept the blood of Jesus full pay for my sin, I become a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells with me, makes me a new creation. That's my hope if I stay plugged in. I don't lose my salvation if I'm not plugged in. I just lose the precious promises. I'm not getting a hold of it. But watch. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, watch, unto unfeigned. In other words, real, not fake. Not fake love of the brethren. He said, you're really going to love the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know what? That's not mean just, I just put up with them. Now, you might not even like them. But you love them. You love them. Jesus, listen, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of Christ. Watch, verse 23. Being born again, in other words, born up, our spirit now alive, born again, not of corruptible seed, not rotting seed, not the old dirty sinful seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, in other words, which liveth and abideth forever. So he says, listen, I'm a new creation, not because I'm going by what the world is saying, but I'm going by what God says in his book. The word of God. Now watch. The more we think like God, the more we are going to behave like God. It's not all at one time. But the more that you think like God, as we grow in our godliness, the more we will behave like God. Living godly will come to the point where it only makes sense to you. Now watch. You've heard my messages. Our sin of our nation is destroying our nation. How many messages have I given you over the years that talks about how when a nation turns its back, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Listen, over and over and over again, his eyes are looking to and fro to bless those whose heart are perfect toward him. He blesses those who have desired to live righteously for him. Over and over and over again. And in fact, if we turn our back on him, He's going to lift off the blessing. He's going to leave us to the disposal of the world. And who's the prince of the power of the world? Satan. He's out to get us. And so he leaves us exposed to Satan himself, so to speak. Till we get scared enough, we run back to God. It just doesn't make sense. Now watch me. I am not mad, nor do I hate folks who are into all these different sexual perversions. I don't hate them. God doesn't hate them. He died for them. But why do we speak so hard against them? Hurt their feelings? No. You know, there's some people in this world think we just get up every morning and figure out how we can make other people feel bad about their sins. No. Listen, except for the grace of God, so go I. Well, then why do you talk about it all the time? Because it's destruction in their life. And it's destruction to the American way of life. It's going to hurt all of us. Sin brings forth death. I'm not against it. We just need to get rid of the sin. Listen, it was just as bad when we decided that when free love, we don't get married, we just have sex with this guy for a while, and then this one over here for a while, and this one over here for a while, and you know, I just love everybody. No, you have lust for everybody. And God says that's wrong too. Well, at least it's not homosexual. What's the difference? Sin is sin is sin is sin is sin. Now watch me. The more we think like God, the more we're going to behave like God. So now watch. 1 John 3 says this. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death into life, or we've gotten saved, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, I'm not going to lay down my life. Listen, there are things that we don't do, things that we do for the sake of others, if you really have a love for them. Watch. It will no longer seem weird and foolish to live in a godly manner. In fact, if godliness is growing up, it will seem weird and foolish to live in an ungodly manner. All of a sudden, the things that, you know, what the world says is good, we say, how can they think that's good? Don't they know this is what we need to do? And yet they're saying, how can they think that's good? Don't they know that this is what we need to do? Because either you're thinking like the flesh or you're thinking like God, or somewhere in between here, a mixture of the two. I remember my dad, years ago, I was probably in high school, going into college, and I remember him saying, Mom would say, we get a little, you know, theological discussion, and if Dad was in there, he just hated it. Oh, he hated those discussions. And a couple of times he said, Sterling, now he loved me. I know he loved me. He wanted what was best for me. But I remember one time especially, he looked at me, he said, Sterling, this is foolishness. You're going to ruin your life thinking God's going to do this. It's fine to go to church, learn how to be honest. But out here in the real world, that stuff doesn't work. It's you and your mother's religion. I don't want to hear more about it. If you do a whole lot better to get rid of it yourself. Crazy people. Well, as time went by, you know the story. I wrote him a letter and all kinds of things. And Lord, we just kept doing what we felt like God wanted us to do. And he didn't like it, but he watched the Lord as he blessed us and took care of our needs and so forth and so on. And then he watched how his friends' kids died of overdoses and died in a drunken stupor in a car and was living at homeless or didn't have this or didn't have this and just was a mess. He watched all these in their daddies, but you know, they let them do what they wanted to do, and that's what they got. And I remember the day when he was in a select specialty down here in York Hospital on I think it was a third floor, no, fifth floor. And he was in there for dialysis because his kidneys had shut down. And he said, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to get out of here. If I don't get out of here, is there anything I need to do to make sure I'm okay? I said, well, Dad, I think you, well, by that time, he had changed. But I said, if you would like, I'd go through all this with you. And he prayed to receive Christ. Now, the fact is, I wrote him a letter, and I was about 30, and he told me then, he said, I didn't get into it much, but he says, well, I've gotten a little older and a little wiser. And I said, I thought you also said easy believism, just a bunch of foolishness. Well, a little older, a little wiser. And I saw him change. Saw him change. To the point where he couldn't understand why anybody still thought the way the world thinks. Didn't make any sense to him anymore. That's what I'm talking about. So can that really happen? I know it can happen. I saw it happen. Now, as we add to our faith, we move from living as a natural man, watch me, to living as a spiritual man. 1 Corinthians 2:12. If you want to look at it real quick, I'm going to read it, but I just want you to see it. You know, I go to a lot of scripture because you can't do this based on what Sterling Walsh says. But you can do this with what God says. I had a couple here, that sweet, sweet couple, but they said, why do you turn to so many scriptures? By the time you get to number 3, I'm just done. And they finally actually kind of left the church after that because they said, I just can't take all those scriptures. And I said, because I want you to realize this is not something I pulled out there and made it say what I wanted to say. This is a principle that goes all the way through the Word of God. God's teaching us these principles. Why do you, one after another, why you do that? Because I want you to see, This author said the same thing that this one said, and this one said the same thing. By the way, because it's all authored by God. Just different penmen who wrote it down. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received, in other words, you got saved, received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Watch, he said, well, you got saved, you didn't get more of the world. You got the way God thinks in you, the Spirit of God. Watch. that we might watch. Know the knowledge of God. Know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, to know the great and precious promises, to live by faith, trust in the Lord to bring about the promises. How many times have I said, just or live by faith? The faith is action based on a promise or command of God. But the problem is you can't live by faith based on the promises of command of God if you don't know the promises and commands of God. I mean, this is just common sense, folks. You can't live by something you don't know what it is. Do you ever make a decision, stood on something, and then you got some more information? Uh-oh, I was wrong. I didn't have all my ducks in a row there. I messed up on that. It made sense with what I knew. So it goes on. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing scripture spiritual with spiritual. He said, listen, we're all comparing worldly men's philosophy with worldly men's philosophy with worldly men's philosophy. And everybody, you know what? They're like noses. Everybody has a different opinion. This is the way it's supposed to work. And we get so confused. Why are we so confused? Because we didn't go to the source of truth. We can't make good decisions because we don't know the facts. It goes on, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, what's the natural man? That's who you are when you're born. That's who you are when you're born. But we're born sinners. So we're born with the breaker turned off, right? We're born with the breaker turned off. There's no power in the plug. We can go to church and try to plug in, but we're not going to get anything because it's dead. My connection with God is dead. Anything I have is with the flesh. And so the fact is, the natural man cannot understand the things of God because he's not connected. And watch. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Try all that you may. It's not going to make the sense that it needs until you decide you're a sinner and you need a Savior and your only hope is Jesus Christ and the blood. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual, in other words, the breaker's turned on. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. He can see. He can discern between things. See, he says that things are spiritually discerned. In other words, he can make a good judgment about truth. He that is spiritual judges or can discern all things. Yet he himself judgeth of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? That we may instruct him. Well, I don't know. But we have the mind of Christ. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we can have the mind of Christ. Listen, the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, but they make complete sense to a spiritual man. Listen, there are folks in this world who take biblical principles and says, this is what I'm basing my life on. And there's other people who say, I don't want the Bible. It's a bunch of fairy tales. I throw all that out, and they're going to go on my own instincts. And that's what I'm going to make decisions on. Don't expect them to see eye to eye. It's not going to happen. I mean, by accident, they may know that you shouldn't kill somebody. You know, those kind of things. But even that, if you don't want to be a parent, go ahead and kill the baby. And we say, "No, wait a minute. Circumstances doesn't change the fact you don't kill, right? You do your best to save both lives if you can. I mean, it could be that if she has a baby, she's going to die. And so I'm not saying you got to make her die, but can we? Is there some way we can do our best to save both? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's bad choices, but the fact is, the idea is that we're going to try to save both of them. So we got the natural men. In other words, they're still living unsaved as they were born sinners. They're lost, they're separated from God, unable to really understand fully how God thinks because the connection's bad. Then you got spiritual men who are saved unless they have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and they're adding to their faith. And as they add to their faith and yielding to the Spirit and living in the Spirit, in theory, the spiritual man will have access to the wisdom of God and should be able to discern good and evil, righteousness and wickedness. And then there are what they call carnal Christians. They are saved, but for whatever reason, they're not adding to their faith, and thus they're not yielding to the Spirit, but living after the flesh, producing the work of the flesh rather than the fruit of the Spirit. And if this was not possible, we wouldn't have Galatians 5, where it talks about the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. These folks do not possess the knowledge of God, and thus they have not developed, or at least not much. And they haven't developed godliness in their hearts, and thus they do not have it in them to truly live as the Spirit of God would have them live, and brotherly kindness is not being developed. Well, why do you say, brotherly kindness? Because that's who God is. God is love. And he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not is knoweth not God. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded. By the way, carnal, they use the word. You ever had chili con carne? That means chili with meat. All right? Or he's a carnivore. He eats meat. The carne means flesh. And so he says, for he to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the switch may be on and I have access to God, but I'm not making use of that. I'm not adding to my faith. So all I have going on is the world telling me what I should be doing. Because the carnal mind, watch, is enmity against God. God doesn't like that. I'm going the wrong direction. For it's not subject to the law of God. Indeed, neither can be. The carnal mind is against God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We don't owe ourselves to the flesh, because it was going to kill us here. We are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. This is dead to me. I'm going to flip the switch off of my flesh so that all I have is the Spirit telling me what to do. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are carnal. He's talking to Christians here. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Listen, if you've got a marriage full of envying and strife and division, it's carnal, you're not walking spiritual. There's an awful lot of people who want to claim spirituality by tearing everybody else down. It's not doing right. You are just sinners. Nasty people. You wicked, 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 wicked. Now, it is. And we got to stand up and say what it is. But listen, God loves those people. But wait, he loves me. I'm still a sinner. You're still a sinner, folks. And compared to God, we are filthy, filthy, filthy. Now, we may think we're pretty good compared to some other people, but actually, we're this much bigger than, much better than them, and God is infinitely better than us. We're closer to the world than we are to God. Even the most spiritual person living in the world is closer to the world than they are to God. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Listen, here's, man, it's, ah. In Corinthians, what was going on when the church was this? There were some of the church that said, you know who led me to the Lord? Paul, the Apostle Paul, he led me to the Lord. I said, well, maybe you did, but I was one of the real disciples led me, Peter, Cephas, and it says, but Peter, the disciple, he walked with Jesus. He's the one who led me to the Lord. Well, you know, they're kind of crude. Peter, you know, he's got his problems, you know, and Paul, I don't know about Paul. Apollos, though. Man, did you ever hear anybody speak so eloquently as Apollos? Man, when he speaks, it just gives me shivers. Apollos was the one that led me to the Lord. And they had divisions over who led them to the Lord, who they followed. What does that have to do with anything? Are you saved? Well, if so, listen. Paul planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. Those are things that's division. They thought they were being real spiritual. But fake godliness is not godliness at all. It's ungodliness. Now, I got to give you this one before we go. Got to do this. I'm not going to go. Yeah, I can do this one because I stopped. This is, I stopped at this in early service. There's something you need to. I want you to understand where this brotherly kindness is coming from, and then we're going to get real specific next week what brotherly kindness means. But number three, I want you to notice something. Godliness comes before brotherly kindness. Now, you would think that, you know, if I'm developing my Christianity, the first thing I do is start being nice to people. You know, I'm just not as mean and nasty as I used to be. And, you know, I'm a little more friendly and warm, you know, and brotherly kindness. And then if I get really, really good at that, and I let it develop over the years, I kind of become godly. You see what I'm saying? Brotherly kindness seems like, well, that's, you know, that's just kind of this thing. Godliness is above that. Watch me. In us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We may think we're filled with brotherly kindness, but even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I am to crucify that part of me, my flesh, and yet be alive in Christ. I cannot truly be kindly affectioned as I ought to be unless the Lord is taking control and reigning or ruling over this old man. Add to your faith virtue, the virtue of knowledge, the knowledge temperance, the temperance patience, patience godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. See, we think it's going to be the other direction. Godliness must come first. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation or without insincerity. Let love be without insincerity, without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Philippians 2:1 says this, if there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. He says, we want to be of one mind. Whose mind? Ah. When I direct the choir, I've told the choir here, and I've told my high school choir, which they have done a tremendous job this year, started from scratch this year. They're just doing wonderful. In fact, they're going to sing tonight. But I've told choirs over the years, when we do the choir here, and I'm director, we got to be of one mind. We got to all be together, all in tune to do the same thing. But the problem is that one mind has to be mine. It can't be if someone's sitting in the back row, we can't follow them. Can't see them, can't follow them. I may not be have the greatest mind, but I'm the one that's up front. And so we all got to be in tune with one mind. And we all need to be in tune with the same mind of Christ. And if I had the mind of Christ with humility and meekness and love and compassion, and you have the same mind of Christ with humility and meekness and compassion and all those things, before long, I tell you, it's pretty hard not to get along. And God's going to bless that. But I've got to have the mind. So watch, he says, fulfill ye my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Watch, if that's the case, what? Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. In other words, it's not all about me. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, I don't have to have my way. Watch me. You got a boss, and he tells you to do something, and you think it's foolish. You don't think it's a good idea. But I mean, he's the boss, right? If it's not illegal, immoral, or unbiblical, then do it. Now, you have a right to appeal and say, I was wondering if we did thus and so and thus and so, do you think that would work? He says, no, we're going to do it my way. Well, then you know what that means? We're going to do it his way. Esteem each other better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I've told you this story. I was a choir director of a little church. When we left the church because they weren't preaching the gospel, I went to this nice big church, wonderful choir practice, a choir there. And the fact is, I've been trained to be a choir director. That's what I do. That was my deal. And they had a guy that was just a wonderful guy, but he hardly knew anything about music. And I'm sitting there thinking, in my mind, in my flesh, I should be directing this choir, not him. He has no business even standing up there. He has no idea how to rehearse. But the fact is, on Sunday morning, it sounded good. I don't know how he did it. You know who I'm talking about. Wonderful young. She was in there. You were in my. She was in my choir in Westminster. That's right, years ago. And one of the reasons I'm in music is because of her. By the way, she always thinks that's funny, but it's the truth. She sang in high school, and it was a Christmas program, and I still remember. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's the funniest thing I remember. I said, I want to do that. Now, that was kind of a, you know, but I ended up going into, it was just kind of a fun winter's type of song. But I don't know. He did such a good job. I just thought, well, that's good. I like that. But anyway, I digress. But he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You're thinking they're better. They got more. Listen, God put him in that position. What do I need to do? My job. Sit in the choir and do my very best. Sing my best. Support him the best I can. That's what Christ would do. Who in being the form of God, Jesus, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God. He knew who he was, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now watch me. I'm almost done. We cannot live godly without being godly. We can only be godly if God is ruling and reigning in our hearts. You can be saved and still not allowing him to rule and reign in your heart. We can walk in the Spirit so we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Can you imagine How many of the great, precious promises that we claim that God is supposed to give to us that we're missing because we do not add to our faith the knowledge of God so that we become godly in our thinking and kind in our actions? I thought, God, now we're saved, our marriage is supposed to be fine. Great. Well, you're still acting the way you were before you got married, before you got saved. You're still behaving. You're saved. You're going to heaven. That's good. But we're not adding to our faith to become godly in our mannerism, godly in our heart, which changes our heart, which changes our actions. God has the promise, but you got to let God do His work. It's your choice. Again, a lot of folks turned on the switch, but they're not plugging anything in. And they're living just like they did before. Oh, they feel more guilty about it now because the Holy Spirit's in there saying, what are you doing that for? You know God doesn't like that. God doesn't want you to do that. But you say, well, I don't know what else to do. How many times have you heard that? I didn't know what else to do. What do you mean you didn't know what else to do? The Bible says so. Well, I didn't know that. Why didn't you know that? Because you never added to your faith the knowledge of God. Knowledge of the things that are holy. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. I just don't understand how to make, because you don't have knowledge of the holy. You've got knowledge of the unholy. That's what we filled our minds up. And so that's what we're making our decisions based on, the unholy. And we're not any better off. Why is divorce almost the same rate of divorce in church as outside the church? Because most of the church has gone in and they've done something to kind of make them feel good, pump themselves up. But they didn't gain the knowledge of God. Well, this is kind of boring. I mean, I'd rather have a rock band makes me feel good, pumps me all up. Uh-huh. Use a little temperance, a little self-control, a little patience, and let God develop godliness within you, and then it will come live out of you. And you'll be surprised, because I didn't get to it. We reap what we sow. If all I'm putting in is ungodliness, then everything I'm putting out is ungodliness. And so what I'm going to get back? Ungodliness. See what I'm saying? But if I put in the knowledge of God and godliness, then what I'm going to be putting out is godliness. But what am I going to reap? Godliness. You see what I'm saying? Well, why you go to all this trouble, all these rules, all these things? Because I want to make sure that I'm staying godly. Because in my mentality, I'm saying, God has given me great and precious promises. And I'm sorry, I'm selfish. I want them all. And God says, I want you to have them all.